good morning and welcome, to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Buck, and Calvin Butenhoff coming to you from our studio in sunny downtown Waukesha. You can always join us. Call or text, same number, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment on the live stream if you're watching on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. It's Thursday. That means that we are going to be joined at 11:33 by the Acme Packing Company's Paul Noonan to talk all things sports. Big Packer game on Sunday at noon in Green Bay. Also, some very exciting Lego news that I know Greg is excited about. And we'll be kicking that around with Paul Noonan coming up at 11:33. Wanted to start off this hour, though, with a reminder. If you are looking for some merchandise,
yes,
perhaps you need a new T-shirt as we head into fall. Greg is modeling one right now. The red W-A-U-K fine T-shirt. Nice cotton.
It's very comfy.
Very comfy cotton.
Very washable.
Go to civicmedia.us. Click on the shop button, I believe. And that will take you to our merch store. We have yet to acquire any Matt Nair on Air merch. We're working on it. We have lots of ideas.
I think I have a great idea for Matt Nair on Air T-shirt. A very simple 70s design with the cuffs on the side. Like the old school shirts that kids used to wear in the 70s where it was like a white shirt, but then it had like the whatever this is.
A cuff.
The cuff is like a blue or a red. And then it just says good morning in like puffy letters. Like, and there's a rainbow or something, whatever. It's just good morning. And it says Matt and Aaron Air. That's
put a kitten and a puppy on.
We could put a kitten and a puppy. Cause they escaped and they got in our shirt, so you cannot eat them.
That's in development. Our marketing team still having many meetings about that. But we do have Civic Media merch.
Yeah.
Go to civicmedia.us and check out the shop button and pick up some Civic Media merch as you head into fall. They just can't decide whether or not mail-in voting is good or bad, or banking your vote is good or bad. They just keep tripping over their own messages from MAGA. Lara Trump was on CNN recently. Lara Trump, of course, is the co-chair of the Republican National Committee. They gave her the responsibility of directing where all the money goes, which was so smart. Good thinking, guys. Good thinking. Yeah, Lara Trump was on CNN. Calvin, let's play that clip with Lara Trump talking about mail-in voting.
Lara, I also want to ask you about something he posted recently on Truth Social, where he actually called on the RNC, the organization you're a co-chair of, to activate now. And this was around mail-in voting. He said, he was quoting Tucker Carlson here with an election expert, that 20% of mail-in ballots in Pennsylvania are fraudulent. Here we go again. Where is the Attorney General, the FBI to investigate? Where is the Republican Party in Pennsylvania? The RNC must activate now. Now, in August, the RNC, your RNC, and the Trump campaign launched a Get Out the Vote tool where Pennsylvania voters can request a mail-in ballot directly. Is the former president saying that Republicans in Pennsylvania should not ask for these ballots?
And no, quite the opposite. Donald Trump wants every voter, no matter if you're voting Republican, Democrat, or third party candidate, to
so
feel comfortable
that
you can vote.
20% of them are fraudulent.
He's specifically referencing information from the 2020 election. What we're talking about right now is making sure that every vote matters and every vote counts. And I've worked very
what
hard.
What information
at
do we
RNC.
Have? What evidence is there that 20% of the mail-in ballots in Pennsylvania in 2020 were fraudulent?
I didn't see that report, so I'd have to go back and look at it. So I can't directly speak to that. But what I can tell you is we've worked very hard on the ground at the RNC to make sure every voter in this country feels like when you cast a ballot, whether it's via mail, whether it's early voting in person, or whether it's on election day in an election office around the country, your vote matters and your vote counts. And Donald Trump very much wants every Republican voter to vote however they feel most comfortable, and every voter in this country to vote however they feel most comfortable. So I would have to go back and look at that. I have not studied that.
Of course you haven't, Lara, because it would contain facts.
Yeah. Oh, we just breaking news right now. Lara Trump has still not looked at the information.
They never do. They no. never bring receipts.
They never
bring receipts because they don't have any.
And they don't have to.
Right.
They get to say, I didn't see that. And they get to walk away again.
Right.
And there's no personal responsibility.
If you're a MAGA Republican you must be really confused on what they want you to do, because this mixed messaging has been coming now for the last 6 months. And on the one hand, it's bank your votes, mm-hmm. vote early, vote by mail. On the other hand, it's drop boxes are fraudulent. He's still ranting about 2020, that 20% of the mail-in ballots were false. He said at one point, I don't need your vote. We have enough votes. He said that at a rally. I don't need your votes. We have enough votes.
Well, that's how the GOP treated the RNC this year. They said, we don't need the delegates' help. We've done all the work. You're fine. Stay home. They think they've got this in the bag. They think that they are good to go. I mean, right now, if you are a Wisconsin Republican, I can only imagine, because you have Brian Schimming and the Wisconsin GOP running a bank the vote, vote early campaign, which, hey, welcome to the party, pal. Well,
seriously.
It only took you how many years to get here, but you're here, so let's all have some champagne. But you're running this, but then your guy is saying it's all a fake. It's all a fake. Then you have Laura Trump saying, whose father-in-law is saying that, but she's saying, oh, but no, we don't care who you vote for. We just want you to register and then get your email and ask you for lots of money because they're broke. If you're a Wisconsin Republican right now and you're listening to this show, first of all, good on you. You got great taste. But second, are you going to bank your vote? There's no judgment here. I'm just wondering if Wisconsin Republicans might feel confused. And that's a legitimate question, not making fun of anybody, because if your guy is saying this and he's your guy, then are you doubting him and his validity? Or are you going to say, no, I'm going to vote early because you want to or need to, or just that's the way you like to do it. But your guy said it's not good. Like, there's just so much
mixed messaging.
Yes. Whereas, I mean, I don't want to say on the other side, but normal thinking people, unlike the president, former president, it's like, yeah, let's go vote early. Or I'm going to vote on the day. Like, it's Wisconsin Republicans, are you doing okay right now?
I think they've got to be ripping their hair out.
I mean, and I ask this with all respect, is it a big decision for you? Are you going to vote early or are you going to vote on the day? That's what I want to know. And if you are, tell us why.
855-752-4842. This is for everybody. I'm just curious now, how are you going to cast your ballot?
Yeah, what's your vote plan?
What's your vote plan? Are you going to vote on the day? Mm-hmm. Are you going to vote early?
Yep.
Are you voting absentee?
Yeah.
You feel good about voting by mail with Louis DeJoy? I'm not so sure.
Yeah.
That would be my only concern about putting the ballot in the mail, is making sure that it gets there on time, because, again, Louis.
Yeah. I'm in the works with getting Representative Pocan back on here. We can always talk about Mr. DeJoy. I mean, Jane, what is your plan?
I'm going to vote the day.
Okay. There you go.
My polling place is 3 blocks from my house.
And you're registered?
I am registered, and I check at least every couple weeks.
Yeah.
To make sure I am still registered.
Very smart.
Myvote.wi.gov. Super easy. Put in your address. It will bring up everything you need to know. You get a chance to see a sample ballot. It has contact information for all of your elected officials, all of them. And we encourage you to contact your representatives.
Yes.
As we were talking to Mary Hayes yesterday from the Shequamagon Democrats. And this proposal from Tom Tiffany to change the Apostle Islands from a national lakeshore designation to a national park designation.
Yeah.
There are a lot of questions about Mr. Tiffany's motivations on why he wants to do this.
Mm-hmm.
And we encourage you to contact him.
Yes.
Especially if you're one of his constituents. Because as Mary pointed out, they have to keep a record of every single phone call and every single letter that they get on topics, and then they can be FOIA'd.
Yeah.
Which is Freedom of Information Act.
Yeah.
It's important. And it's important to be respectful.
We got a text from Patrick listening in Green Bay, says it would help to tell the listeners that voting early is helpful because the party checks you off their list to message to, allows the party to target those who haven't yet voted. It's coming from a strategist named Simon Rosenberg. And yeah, I mean, I plan on voting early. I've already requested. I went to myvote.wi.gov and I requested my ballot. It should be sent to me in a couple weeks. I'm going to fill it out, do all the things, then drop it off in the mailbox that's right by the city hall where I live in Kenosha, and take care of it that way, because I understand the excitement, especially in a presidential election. and especially like this, there is an energy that's in the air when you go to vote. But I drive four counties a day, and if my car breaks down, I'm in trouble.
Right.
If something happens, I could be in trouble. So I just rather take care of it ahead of time. So you're voting on the day of?
Yeah.
I'm voting. Calvin, do you know what you're doing?
Yep. I always vote same day in person.
Okay.
Is it a pretty small polling place where you cast your ballot?
Yeah. So the village where I live has like 1,700 people. So yeah, it's pretty small.
So you could do paper ballots and it would actually work there.
Yeah.
We got a couple here saying I will be voting on, I will vote the day of voting. Great. I got one from Carrie and Tosa listening to WAUK. Voting in person day of and will bring utility bill as a precaution. No longer trust the absentee ballot process. That's fair because sometimes they come late. Sometimes they don't come at all. I totally get that. And then Tom from West Dallas says, why isn't there a public service and public, I want to say public cervix. Why isn't there a public service announcement showing the public what it takes to vote and why their vote is secure? Show the people how it's impossible to cheat if you mail in a ballot.
And you know what, Tom? We're going to reach out to some election officials and see if they can take us through the process. It's very, very complicated.
Yeah.
There are numerous steps that they go through to check and double check and triple check.
Yeah.
We've talked about this before. They don't just run a bunch of ballots the day of the election.
Yeah.
And print them off on Frank's printer in his office. They're printed out well in advance. Yeah. They are numbered, so they're accounted for.
They're tracked by signatures.
They're tracked all over the place.
Yeah.
It's so much more secure than people appreciate. And I know Keep Our Republic has had seminars all over the state trying to explain the process to people who might have concerns about the validity of our elections. They're safe.
Yeah.
They're secure. They are.
And
Sue from Franklin, voting of day in person. And in Franklin, you can imagine how fun that is for a Democrat. You go, Sue.
Yeah.
You represent. I like to go the day of because, again, it's three blocks from my house. I always love to see how turnout is going and what that feels like and how the election workers feel.
Yeah.
You know, have you seen a lot of folks? What number am I? You know, ooh, 142.
Say thank you.
I love, yes. Say thank you to our poll workers.
Yeah.
Especially in the last couple of years, they have not had a necessary. Good morning. Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, the Board Lord, coming to you from our studio in downtown Waukesha, where you can always join us at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform that Leon continues to actively ruin. Talking about the conflicting messages from the Republican Party on, yes, bank your vote. Yes, bank vote early. Yes, vote absentee. No, wait. No. Only vote in person because everything is corrupt. Donald Trump, just a couple of days ago, saying 20% of mail-in ballots in Pennsylvania are corrupt.
Yeah.
There's no evidence for that. And there's never been any evidence for that. So I just think it's got to be really confusing to be a Republican voter.
Absolutely. We hope, and we just hope you have a plan. Want to vote early? Awesome. We support it. You want to vote the day of? Awesome. We support it. Take a friend. Make sure people know about the registration. And the two things I want to say on, if you need to register that day, wear some comfy shoes.
It's going
to
be a long day.
Be a long day, long lines. And there are people out there who don't want you to succeed. So they're going to count on the fact that you're going to get worn out and go home and not come back. So if you're not registered and you want to do that in the day, then you got to be prepared for a little bit of a wait. Patrick in Green Bay listening says, if something goes weird with your ballot, it gets quote unquote spoiled. You have more time to quote unquote cure it the earlier you vote. So that's another.
And Patrick says too, voting same day also risks weather events and potential shenanigans by a certain party.
We do not like shenanigans.
No shenanigans. No. We are anti-shenanigans. How are you going to vote? Do you have a plan? Are you thinking about it? Are you going to vote same day? Are you going to vote absentee? Are you going to vote early? By the way, National Voter Registration Day is this coming Tuesday,
mm-hmm.
September 17th.
17th, yeah.
If you are not registered, myvote.wy.gov, do it. It's easy. It's really pain-free.
It's so simple.
It is. It's so simple.
It's so, so very simple, guys. It's, seriously, just go there, check it out. And, it, and also, it's just great to see who your representatives are. I mean, it is everyone from the president to city council to if you elect a clerk.
Yep.
It's absolutely
everybody.
Everybody. And you can find out where their meetings are happening and you can find out where you can, you know, get services. It's a great website. I love that website. I go to it more than I actually need. Just kind of like to see that. And you can also see what's on your ballot. Especially
when there's referendums.
This is another thing we are going to be talking about, even yep. though I wish we didn't have to.
Yep.
In November, there will be another referendum on the ballot for the Wisconsin Constitution, because when the Wisconsin GOP loses or doesn't like what's going on, they put it to a vote that way. And this will have to do with voting rights.
Again.
Again. So we will be having Deb Kronmiller on. We will be having individuals to talk about these to help you get all the information you need and give us information, because it will be written terribly. It will be confusing, but with their help, we'll be able to understand it. And once again, tell the GOP, hey, you know what? If you can't pass it in the legislature, stop trying to force it onto our ballots.
But you know, this is the new playbook now.
Yep. Yep.
And for Republicans around the country.
Yep.
And it's been interesting to see with some of the amendments that they don't like, especially regarding abortion rights.
Yeah.
When that makes it on the ballot, they are going through more gyrations to get that off the ballot.
Yes.
Usually for some stupid procedural reason.
Mm-hmm.
Not because of massive fraud, not because of anything like that. It's like, oh, geez, we told them to get it on the ballot, and now they did. Now how do we get rid of it?
Oh, it's missing a comma. It's the grammar law. We can't do it. Sorry, start over, please.
Yeah, punctuation laws.
Exactly. Yeah, it's do not let them fool you. Stay close to civic media. We will be talking about the ballot measure on the, I think it's one this time.
Instead of two.
But this is going to, if I'm not mistaken, it has to do with declaring that only a U.S. citizen can vote in a Wisconsin election, which.
That's already a law, isn't it?
I'm pretty sure people know that. And if people are going to try to vote illegally, guess what? They don't care about constitutional amendments or laws. They're going to do it. So
people who are here illegally, I find it ludicrous that they are going to risk everything.
Yes, of course.
To cast a ballot.
Yeah. But my point is that if you really want to voter fraud it up, you don't care about the rules. So
there's that.
So why do we need this? It's almost like we also don't need voter ID, but that's for another day. Okay.
855-752-4842. How are you planning to cast your ballot on November 5th? Jim from Brookfield is on the line. Good morning, Jim. Thank you for joining us.
You're welcome. Good morning, Jane. I'm going to vote in person, most likely day of, maybe early in person as well. I vote in Washoe County, and there is in person early voting to make sure your ballot's right there. I just wanted to share a story. Last time I voted in person, day of, it must have been 6 years ago when Tammy Baldwin was running for her second term, and a blast in the past, she was running against Leah Vuknor. And being in Washoe County, one advantage of voting in person is sometimes you get to see the candidates themselves vote. Well, Leah was there, you know, bright and early that morning, and it was very apparent from the poll she was going to lose. The mood around here was kind of somber. She somehow got to go ahead of us. She went past the line. And people were actually, like, avoiding eye contact and almost stepping away. And believe it or not, I actually felt sorry for her. So
oh, wow.
So I said, good luck, Leah, as she walked by. And I give her credit. She did a 180. She turned around, marched right to me, and shook my hand and said, thank you, you know. And I said, you're welcome. But I didn't say, I'm not going to vote for you. One advantage of voting in person is sometimes you see the candidate, and you could just tell from her expressions, the mood. People, like I say, were kind of keeping their distance from her. She was going to go down in flames, which she did. But long story short, I'm going to vote in person, or, you know, maybe early in person as
all
well.
All right.
Well, and thank you for being a classy guy, Jim.
Yeah, absolutely.
And acknowledging her and shaking her hand, and that was really nice of you.
It was very apparent people were stepping, you know, avoiding eye contact. And I, believe it or not, I felt sorry for her.
Yeah.
You know,
I mean, the losing end of election night is not a fun party to go to.
I'm sure it's not, but how crappy that all of a sudden now she's a pariah.
Yeah.
Now you're a pariah. That's not nice.
I'm glad you called in, Jim. I want to make it, and thank you so much for calling. I just want to make a reminder to those in Brookfield and New Berlin. And now where is it with the sheriff who just knows about voter fraud?
Oh, some places in Dane County.
Dane County or Dodge County?
Could be Dodge.
Dodge County. You will not have access to drop boxes for your ballots.
Right.
The city councils or the sheriff with their psychic abilities.
Yes, a perception of voter fraud.
Are now working to get rid of those, which is intimidation, which is voter suppression, and it's not right. But New Berlin, Dodge County, Brookfield, just know that you do not have that accessibility.
Mark from Prairie du Sac, real quickly, Mark, we're just right up against the news here. What did you want to say? Thank you for joining us.
Wasn't that Janelle Branch and her cadre of her little cabal and clique that conspired to get false ballots to try to prove that there was election fraud going on in the state? And they didn't choose, they chose not to prosecute them because they were afraid they couldn't get enough people that would be nonpartisan in that in her jury pools that they actually get a conviction. She actually committed the crime, but they didn't think they'd get a conviction because of her popularity or unpopularity.
Thank you so much, Mark. Appreciate it. News coming up next. When we return, the Acme Packing Company's Paul Noonan will join us. Stay close. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. Good morning and welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Dr. Slide on the board, coming to you from our studio in sunny downtown Waukesha. You can always join us. Call or text, same number, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform that Leon continues to actively ruin. He joins us every other Thursday at this time to talk all things sports. He is the Acme Packing Company sports guru, Paul Noonan. Good morning, Paul. So, the Packers game Sunday, boy, well, how are you feeling about this with our replacement quarterback likely going to have to step in for Jordan Love, right?
Yeah, if Love is out, and it looks like he will be, they're being a little cagey with Love's status and not actually declaring him out yet, but this injury usually requires at least 3 weeks, so it's probably going to be 3 weeks. It's not a good place for them to be. Malik Willis is... he's a project quarterback. He is a developmental quarterback, and he has not succeeded very well in the NFL so far. He's got a big arm, but just in terms of stepping in and taking over a team like this, I'm surprised they're doing it not going with Sean Clifford. They're going to have a very run-heavy way of doing things. And all right. I'm not sure the best way to go about that. All right. You want me to jump and get on my phone?
I think you should get on the phone. We're having some connection issues, Paul. There's a lot of crackling coming over the line.
All right. I'll jump off and do that.
Just give us a call. 855-752-4842. 855-752-4842. Paul's going to join us on the phone. This happens. Yeah. There are gremlins occasionally.
Yes.
That pop up in equipment, and it's like, where did that come from? I don't know. It was just fine yesterday. This happened. So anyway, it's going to be interesting. It's a lot of pressure for these young guys. Granted, this is what they do. But you have to hope that he's going to be ready.
I mean, it's just, I don't know how long the injury is going to last. I said, 3 to 6 weeks, if I'm not mistaken, Calvin?
Paul just said three. Yeah, at least okay, 3 weeks.
Yeah.
There we got Paul on the phone.
Yep. Hey, I'm back.
All right. So you said about 3 weeks that Jordan Love's going to be out, Paul?
Probably so. They're leaving it open for him to come back earlier, but generally speaking, that's the minimum amount of time for this kind of injury. So he'll probably be out. And Malik Willis is very raw. He was picked originally by Tennessee as a developmental quarterback. He is an excellent runner, and he's got a really, really strong arm. However, he's always taken far too many sacks, a lot like Justin Fields did for the Bears. And there hasn't really been any market improvement since he's been in the NFL. So they seem pretty confident that they can game plan around him, but there's not a lot of history for success for him.
That's not very encouraging.
I wish I could be a little more encouraging. It's actually kind of a weird fit, and I'm surprised they didn't actually go to Sean Clifford for this, who is not a great backup either, but at least can run like effective checkdowns and over the middle throws. One of Malik Willis's other problems is he's really short. He's around 6 feet tall. He has historically not thrown to the middle of the field very much just because linemen are tall. And much of the Packer offense is focused on middle of the field passing. So I'm not entirely sure how this is going to work.
So can you give us an insight on why they picked Willis versus the other gentleman? I mean, like, it just, if it just makes sense why they say, no, we'll go with the guy who's not as experienced and we'll see what happens.
I know they like his tools. And one thing I just disagree with the Packers front office on is the type of quarterback they like. Jordan notwithstanding, but he's actually a little different profile anyway. In the past, they've been linked to quarterbacks like Drew Locke, who ended up busting out of Denver, Daniel Jones on the Giants, who isn't very good either. Basically, mobile guys with big arms that they think they can harness into something. I guarantee that they have a spreadsheet in the front office with a list of guys that fit this profile and that Malik Willis is on it. And so that is part of it for sure. It's just interesting that Love isn't really like that. He does have a big arm, but he is definitely more of a pocket passer than any of those guys. He was in college as well. So their one success story is different than whatever broken spreadsheet they have to pick quarterbacks out.
Well, let's go back to this game in Brazil, because Jordan Love got hurt right at the very end of this game in Brazil. And some of the notes that you sent on to us were that the turf was bad, the calls were bad. Are they going to rethink doing these games now going forward?
They should, but I don't think they will. No. Maybe they'll be a little bit pickier about Stadia, but the places that are built on with soccer in mind on grass just aren't built with the idea that there's going to be 350-pound guys running into each other basically plows.
Yeah.
That's, I think, what it kind of comes down to here. But the NFL is very intent on growing the game internationally, and they can't just pop up NFL stadiums all over the place. So I think that this will continue to happen, and they'll just be a messy game wherever anybody's playing. England hasn't been that different, and Germany hasn't been that different either. So it's not a unique situation that they were on bad turf, but it makes for bad football. It was an ugly slog of a game for the most part, and it had a couple big plays. But in terms of like learning from this game, there's not a lot to take away from it. Every mistake that either team made usually involved a slip, and it's one of the reasons that Jaden Reed and Saquon Barkley were such big weapons for the Eagles and the Packers. Basically, whenever anybody slipped, they're two of the fastest guys on either team, and they just ran straight as fast as possible and scored touchdowns. And that's kind of what it came down to.
Is there any indication, Paul? Paul Noonan, by the way, is our guest. He is with the Acme Packing Company, and he joins us every other Thursday to talk sports. Is there any indication that there is a big appetite for football overseas? I mean, American-style football.
So it definitely varies by country, but it has been growing, kind of analogous to how soccer has been picking up in the United States. And it's not, you know, in England, it's not a big thing, but it has, I would say, a solid cult following. In Brazil, it's actually fairly biggish, just because time zone wise, Brazil is very, you know, it's basically the same as the United States. Time zone is very close, so it's easy to watch. And so it has been growing. The NFL actually has pretty good growth numbers internationally, generally speaking. And so these efforts have paid off. I think that they're still a ways away, like a decade/decades away from being able to put a sustainable team in another country. But they're on a trajectory where it's not out of the realm of possibility.
I just find it interesting. My husband is English and played semi-professional soccer, and he just thinks football moves so slowly. And I would think compared to soccer and compared to rugby, which are pretty fast-moving games, there's a lot of hurry up and wait with football.
Soccer doesn't stop.
Right. Soccer's continual action.
Yeah.
Yep. I think so. This is a criticism that everybody always levies at the NFL, and it's definitely true. But I think what people will start to realize when they sit down and watch it is that it's built for instant replay, and that while the stoppage time, if you don't watch football a lot, you think, well, there's nothing going on. But what's actually going on is pretty in-depth analysis of what just happened and an explanation of what just happened. And a lot of people actually like that about football, that there's the play, there's the break, there's the explanation about what you just saw, and then there's a play right again. So it's a bug for some people, but it's kind of a feature too. And I do think it's one of the reasons it is popular.
Moving to the Packers matchup on Sunday, they play the Indianapolis Colts. I know in last season, one of their biggest struggles defensively was containing mobile quarterbacks, and now they're playing one of the premier rushing quarterbacks in the league. Do you think we'll see improvement from last year on that front?
So, hard to say with the way the turf works in Brazil, but I think yes. They actually did a pretty good job on Jalen Hurts, who's not as fast as Anthony Richardson is. You're right about that. But I think there's some early signs that they're going to be better on contain for that. One of those is Xavier McKinney is good at chase and tackle and was in that game. But I also think they're going to have more Edgerrin Cooper on the field going forward, who's the rookie linebacker, who is, did not play a ton in this game, but was by far the best linebacker that they put on the field in Brazil. And up the middle is what you want for contain on rushing quarterbacks. It's where the Packers have struggled in the past. And I think they'll be okay there. I do think this will be a run-heavy game. The Colts also have one of the worst rush defenses in the league. So Malik Willis is not the ideal starter for a team. But if you're going to have him playing against any NFL team, the Colts are probably the one you want him against, because you can rush for like 300 yards on him.
We're going to move things over to baseball for a little bit. We got about 5 minutes left, Paul. The Brewers right now have an 8.5 game lead. How are you feeling about things? In your notes, you put that they've been slumping.
They have been slumping. Their offense in particular has been slumping. Their pitching was yesterday. They got lit up. But,
they're crushed.
They have a really they got to rest everybody at least. They are struggling offensively, and they have a really tough part of the schedule to finish up here. With one more against the Giants, then they have Arizona, Philadelphia, Arizona. Arizona has actually been slumping a little bit lately too, but since the All-Star break, they've been the best team in baseball. So playing seven games against them is not ideal. And Philadelphia has, of course, been a perennial contender. What's really hurt the Brewers is their lesser players all slumping simultaneously. Like William Contreras and Willy Adames have still been pretty good. Jackson Chourio has still been pretty good. But they do rely on sort of half of the remaining roster hitting okay. And it's just not happening right now. Jake Bowers has been really, really, really poor. Reese Hoskins has been really poor. The sort of light middle infielders and outfielders like Sal Frelick have been really poor. And they need like two or three of them to start playing at least average baseball if they're going to do any damage. In terms of winning the division, they're still in good shape. They have an 8.5 game lead over the Cubs. They also own the tiebreaker over the Cubs, which is good to keep in the back of your mind. Should things go terribly here, they have a game. They basically have a 9.5 game lead against them for all practical purposes. So they should be okay. Even if they back into the playoffs, they should still make it. But their offense needs to get in gear or they're going to bow out early again.
Yeah, I keep on looking at these games back statistics on the standings. I'm like, just keep it at 8.5 or 9, please, please God. And one of the biggest disappointments you talk about Reese Hoskins is Reese came out on fire at the beginning of the season. Like this, he hit a grand slam and got into a fight with the Mets, and we thought he was going to be this spicy fella. And it's kind of, it's mellowed out for him, which is, I mean, everyone has their moments, and I still think he's a great ball player, but the fact that he isn't like hitting the way he was, you know, 2-3 months ago has been a bummer.
Paul, in the about 2 minutes that we have left, let's talk about really important things.
Very important. Let's
talk Lego.
Lego.
Okay. All right. I like Lego.
I don't know if you're aware of this, Paul, but there is a gentleman on the Lego Ideas website who's put together an official fan design for the famous racing sausages. I'm putting this out to the world, and this will be in the show notes. You can vote for it. Paul, you can vote for this, Paul. Everyone can vote for this.
All right.
And if it goes through, if it gets enough, it will become an official set. Will it? I don't know. But, Paul, how do you feel about such an amazing tribute to the original racing entities that everyone else has copied?
I think maybe the greatest honor that you can have bestowed upon you is to have an official Lego set of you. And honestly, kind of surprising they have it. So they definitely deserve it as the pioneers of racing mascots.
Yes.
And I'm 100% on board. I mean, everybody has a racing mascot now, and yeah, none of those would exist without the racing sausages. So they should always have that as a part of their titles as well. Like,
so
the inventors of this.
So we can make this happen, people.
Yes, yes.
We can make this happen. We can make the racing sausages immortalized in Lego. We'll link it in our show notes.
And our social media. And we're making this happen, people.
All right, this will happen. Paul Noonan, thank you so much. We'll talk to you in 2 weeks. Appreciate your time. Stay close. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air. One more segment to go on the Civic Media Radio Network. Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, resident young person Calvin on the board, coming to you from our studio in downtown Waukesha. You can always call or text. It's the same number, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and Twitter. Noon News is on the way, followed by Todd Alba from noon to 2 p.m., he had so much fun yesterday at the Marcus Majestic in Waukesha. Very excited about that, the debut of that film, Just a Bit Outside.
No, Jane. It's Just a Bit Outside.
Just a Bit Outside. And that is going to be hitting theaters all across the country, I believe.
Hitting theaters?
Debuting?
Hitting. Home run.
Oh, hitting.
Oh, my goodness.
Okay, got it. I'm right there with you, the baseball.
Todd invited me to come out for that, and I had every intention. And I took the wrong way. Like, I got to the freeway and I just started driving instinctually to Milwaukee. Dumb. And I was like, oh,
yeah,
I wasn't supposed
home.
To go this way.
Todd Alba, noon to 2. Maggie Dawn from 2 to 4. Dominic Salvia from 4 to 6 p.m. across the news talk stations on the Civic Media Radio Network. I saw this a couple of days ago, and we thought it would just be a silly way to wrap up the show.
Yeah.
People my age probably don't know about this, but people your age know about this.
Yeah.
The Fyre Festival.
The Fyre debacle.
I mean, it was insanely bad. Explain what this was.
The Fyre Fest, an event so bad, two streaming services made documentaries about this at the same time. It was created by a guy named Billy McFarland, which, by the way, Billy McFarland sounds like the name of a neighbor kid on a sitcom who you don't trust.
Yes.
So the Fyre Festival was billed in 2017 as a luxury music festival in the Bahamas, and it was a disaster. It was basically a fraud. And the guy who organized it, Billy McFarland, and along with Ja Rule, remember him, kids? They put together this whole event. It was poorly planned, executed, leaving attendees stranded with little food or shelter. And Billy McFarland was later sentenced to prison for 6 years for wire fraud. Well, guess what, Jane?
He's out of prison.
He's out of prison, and he's ready to make amends with Fire Festival 2.
Oh, no.
The firing. Actually, wouldn't it technically be Fire Festival 1 because the first one never happened?
Well, it did happen-ish, but not really. And as you said, this was billed as a very luxury, high-quality, best hotels, best food, best accommodations. People were in tents in the mud from what I read.
With barely this, the Fire Festival, their package deals would make like Coachella look like slumming it.
Yeah.
It was expensive to be a part of it. And the documentaries are great. They're infuriating because you're like, y'all are idiots. This does not look right. And it fell apart almost immediately as it started. I mean, people were trapped in airplanes and buses, they couldn't get anywhere. And they immediately were taken right back home, and it was over.
They never got their money back.
Oh, and yeah, I don't know if they ever got their money back, but it says right here I don't know if they ever got their money back. Calvin?
Yeah, I haven't seen either documentary, but I've listened to a podcast or two with this gentleman since he's gotten out of jail. It's weird. I don't know why he doesn't necessarily seem like a bad guy, but he definitely seems untrustworthy.
Well, yes.
Well, he reminds me of a lot of like Elizabeth Holmes who did Theranos, who I think Elizabeth Holmes had every intention of trying to help society. But when you got too far into it, you convinced yourself you were fine. So you just start lying and lying
to yourself
and to others, and they start investing. And then you're left with this. The cost for a ticket, Jane, for the 3-day event will start at $1,400, go up to top VIP tickets of $1.1 million.
Which includes an exclusive experience where people get to spend time with Mr. McFarland personally. You too can sit down next to a former felon for the low, low discount price of $1.1 million, folks.
Hey, kids, do you want to hang out with a grifter but Trump isn't available? Billy McFarland, you got Billy McFarland. It's like you made that name up. I mean, it's just... I'm sorry, but he claims that he's sold 100 tickets, which I'm in the business of events and selling tickets. When you're charging between $1,400 to $1.1 million, that ain't enough.
He's already involved in another lawsuit with a fellow inmate who went into business with him. Jonathan Taylor says McFarland breached their contract and ripped him off for more than $650,000 after they formed a tech company that was supposed to be a podcast involving a treasure hunt. He sounds perfectly stable, you guys. Give him money. It's going to be so much fun.
Yeah, I was just scrolling his Wikipedia, seeing what I could find out. And at the very bottom, I found this very interesting tidbit that cites to a Rolling Stone article. McFarland has also been named responsible for getting hip-hop artists to endorse Donald Trump's 2024 campaign for presidency.
Oh, I can only...
He's got some side grifts going.
Yeah, he's a grifter for all seasons. I like this graph in the article. It's not about 10,000 people staring at a stage with their hands in the air, he said. It's about getting on a plane with six people. Two might be your friends. Three might be people you just met that morning, and going and exploring an island or a beach or a reef that you didn't even know existed until you got on the plane. No, I go to a concert. I want to stare at a stage because that's what I paid for. Are you telling me I pay for Firefest? And they're like, hey, get on this plane. Go see a reef. I'm like, no. I don't know those people.
Is this a snorkeling trip?
It's this sounds like a man poorly trying to start a cult.
It sounds like he's trying to grift and it's not going very well. But if he's already sold that many tickets, apparently you can fool people some all of the time.
Because there are just people out there, no matter, because one, they have the money to do it. And FOMO is a serious thing for individuals, especially people who are addicted to their phones, influencers. Yeah, absolutely.
Thank you, Greg and Calvin, and all of our engineers. Without you guys, absolutely nothing works. Thank you for calling and for texting and for listening. It absolutely means the world. I hope you find some joy today and you get the chance to share it. News is coming up next, so keep it right here. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. Have a great day. We'll see you tomorrow.